Yeah, thank you. And good morning. Thank you all for joining our investor call. So I'm Fabian Siegel, founder and CEO of Marley Spoon, and I have with me here today Julien Lange, our CFO.
Good morning, everyone.
So this morning we released our Appendix 4D and half-year financial report for the half-year ending June 30th, 2019, which is the first half of our 2019 financial year. And we're pleased to use the opportunity to provide you with an update on the business performance and highlights of the past half year. At the end, as usual, we will open the call to your questions. So let's start maybe. Let me walk you through our release deck, and maybe we start with slide two. So overall, we are pleased with our operating performance in the first half of 2019. We generated strong top-line growth of 55% in the first half of 2019 compared to the prior corresponding period. And today, Marley Spoon is a 200 million Australian dollar run rate revenue business, annual based on the revenues in the second quarter 2019. We improved our contribution margins on the back of a strong performance in our U.S. business to 24% in the first half of 2019, and confirm also our guidance of reaching mid to high 20s in 2019. In the first half of 2019, we rolled out our third generation manufacturing technology, which is now fully operational in Europe and Australia. And this is for us an important milestone for future scaling of our business and crucial as we execute our strategy to lead our category through innovation and customer choice and personalization. Now, in the second quarter, our Australian operations were profitable on an operating EBITDA level. Now, this was achieved before any effects of our new strategic partnership with Woolworths, and first actions there, by the way, are underway in Q3. Our operating EBITDA margin improved from minus 36% a year ago to minus 28% in the first half of 2019, reaching minus 16% in the second quarter. Overall, we reconfirm our guidance of reaching EBITDA profitability on an operating basis by 2020. So maybe let's move on to slide three. So it has been a year since we listed Marley Spoon at the ASX. Now, in this past year, we have not only grown Marley Spoon significantly, but at the same time, we've achieved many important milestones that lay the foundations for our future growth and profitability. And now, considering the time we have here, I want to highlight only some of those milestones, but please review the deck and our press release for further details. Now, since the IPO, we've successfully positioned Dinnerly as the second brand to Marley Spoon in Australia and the US. Now, we believe our two-brand strategy is giving us a unique advantage over other companies in our space, and we see great traction and customer satisfaction across both brands. We continue to lead our industry in choice and flexibility, and we've been talking about this in the past. Since the IPO, we have expanded our menu choice for Marley Spoon from 12 to 20 weekly changing options, and for Dinnerly, we expanded from 6 to 14. While our customer data shows that providing more choice increases customer satisfaction and lifetime value. In the past 12 months, we also made great progress to move our business towards profitability while continuing to invest in infrastructure, such as tripling our manufacturing footprint in the US. Amidst these investments, we reached EBITDA profitability for the second quarter 2019 period on an operating basis in Australia, and expect to reach overall profitability on an operating EBITDA basis by 2020. An important recent achievement has been our strategic alliance we formed with Woolworths, which we reported and spoke to you in the past, which not only became an investor in our business, but also provide us with growth opportunities and benefits for synergies. Now, let's look a bit closer at our financial performance in the first half of 2019. Now, on page four, you can see that Marley Spoon revenue grew in the first half of 2019, 50% year on year, with all regions contributing to the strong growth rate. Our US business was the main revenue driver with a growth rate of plus 98%. Now, our active customer number grew 38% year on year, which actually underlines how much our revenue growth is driven by loyal customer behavior. Now, Marley Spoon is a high recurring revenue business. In fact, if we switch to the next page, page five, So we'll see that 91% of our revenue in the first half of 2019 came from repeat purchases, which compared to other e-commerce businesses is very high. 64% of all orders were of order number six or higher, and that is an important loyalty metric that actually increased year-on-year by 2 points. This dynamic of higher revenue growth than customer growth highlights the strength of our business model and marketing strategy, which I'd like to review together with you on the next slide, page six. First of all, we are happy to report that while we acquired significantly more customers in the first half of 2019 compared to the prior corresponding period, our cost per acquisition continues to be stable at €66. Now, keeping cost per acquisition stable while accelerating customer acquisitions demonstrate the experience and advanced technologies we've built over the past years in our marketing and brand teams. Now, this acquisition infrastructure allowed us to grow our customer base at attractive cost per acquisition, but importantly, our revenue grew even stronger year-on-year. Now, the effective execution of our marketing strategy grew our business to a $200 million business, of which more than 90% is from repeat customers. All in all, we increased marketing efficiency and reduced our marketing percentage of revenue by 3 points year-on-year to 29% for the first half of 2019. Now, moving on to the next slide. So while we grew our business at stable acquisition costs, we continued to improve our margin in the first half of 2019. Especially our U.S. business increased its contribution margin to 21% year-on-year, which is up 8 points from 13% in the first half of 2018. We believe in the midterm, our U.S. business is able to achieve similar margins to our Australian segment, which was already operating at 33% in the first half of 2019. Despite some one-off challenges in Europe, which we'll cover during our segment overview, we improved our margin overall by 2 points to 24% during the first half of 2019. And we expect our margins to continue to improve and confirm our guidance of reaching the mid to high 20s in 2019. Moving on to page eight. So our top-line growth combined with margin improvements and increased marketing efficiency allowed us to improve our operating EBITDA margin year-on-year from -36% to -28%. In fact, the second quarter, the margin already reached -16%. Now, in light of this development, we reconfirm our guidance of reaching operating EBITDA profitability for the whole group by 2020. With this, I'd like to hand over to Julian, who will walk us through the individual segments and also the financial statements.
Thank you. Thanks, Fabian. Turning to a different region, on slide nine, starting with Australia on the left, our local business there grew top line by 44% on a constant currency basis, while keeping the contribution margin stable at a for us best-in-class 33%. This actually meant we reached profitability on an operating EBITDA basis for the first time in Q2. For the half, as you can see on the page, we still show a small loss of $1.8 million or 8% of revenue after a lot of investment into marketing, especially in Q1. Furthermore, we successfully implemented our new manufacturing technology in both of our Australian sites in Q2, and we've actually started to see positive impacts on both quality and productivity since then. On our Woolworths partnership, which Fabian mentioned, we only entered into in June, but we're happy to see the first marketing campaigns and cost actions already bear fruit in August. I mean, it's too early to share any specific numbers here, but I think it's a positive, really positive to see both partners jumping into action right away. So happy with that. In the middle of the page, the U.S., we grew strongest and had the highest contribution margin increase year-on-year. Of course, these two factors are also related as we continue to see benefits in purchasing as well as higher productivity with the increase in scale. Overall, our two-brand strategy with Martha & Marley Spoon and Dinnerly is really working well for us there in the U.S., but we're actually starting to see this more and more in Australia too. Performance in our European segment was a bit more mixed in the half. As far as we implemented our new manufacturing technology early in the year, in the Netherlands, which then made it also possible for us to consolidate our German site into this Netherlands one. So this is an important one cost-saving move, but also great learning for us as a company going forward, as we now know and are able to manufacture multiple Marley Spoon menus out of the same site. In fact, we're now planning to do the same with our Austrian sites in the second half of the year. So going forward, we'll just have that one centralized Netherlands site. However, short term, the consolidation put some pressure on margins. So overall, CM was down a point to 17% for the half in Europe, for the Europe segment. A good story in Europe, again, both from a cost and strategic perspective, is the start there of our global shared services hub in Portugal. We only opened this in March, but already today it's handling virtually all of our customer communications for the Australian and US businesses. If we're turning to page 10, next one, I think Fabian mentioned, so on the P&L, Fabian mentioned most of the highlights here. Maybe a couple of additions from me. Firstly, on marketing. So we employed a much more pronounced seasonal strategy, which really worked well for us, I think. We spent 12 million euros in Q1 on marketing and only 6 million in Q2, and we were overall very satisfied with the new customer acquisition volume, but also the quality and costs we were able to generate that way. So going forward, look for us to continue this. Also, similarly between Q3 and Q4. Secondly, you can see there's a large difference in this large difference in marketing spend was then also the main driver for development in our quarterly operating EBITDA loss. So we had a loss of 12 million in the first quarter and only 5 million in Q2, so largely driven by marketing. So that covers it on page 10. If you go to page 11, cash flow. Cash flow from operating activities was a couple million ahead of income. I think there's nothing new for you to see. One category where we continue to maybe to highlight where we continue to perform really well is on inventory, where the balance has now remained around 3.5 million euros since really the end of 2017, even though, as you know, the business has massively grown since then. The middle of the page, CapEx was higher year on year at around 3 million. We continue to invest into our two new sites in the US, in New Jersey and Texas. Fabian mentioned almost tripling the footprint. And then, of course, we rolled out this new manufacturing technology in both Europe and Australia. We talked about that also. The financing flows on the page, that quickly explains three main drivers, the Q1 convertibles, the Woolworth investment, so that was Q1 and Q2, and then we repaid the Moneda loan. So there was a net of 22 million euros. And as we communicated at the release of R4C a month ago, we continue to assess funding options, both debt and equity, and expect to be able to share an update here soon. With that, I'd like to turn it back to Fabian.
Thanks, Julian. So let's move on to slide 12. After presenting the financial performance of Marley Spoon in the first half of 2019, I'd like to spend a moment to take a step back and review what we have been building over the past years. Now, at Marley Spoon, we are making weeknight cooking easy and accessible to families, couples around the world, but we're actually doing more. We're building a direct-to-consumer platform of global scale that we believe will be highly defendable. Now, our strategy focuses on three layers that build on top of each other. At the bottom, our base layer is our manufacturing core, in which we have been an industry leader since we started Marley Spoon in 2014. In fact, we see manufacturing as our core competency. This year, we have rolled out our patent-pending third-generation computer-aided manufacturing process in Australia and Europe. Now, this technology can help us to improve quality, drive productivity, and most importantly, allow us to further increase customization of our service to even better meet customer tastes and preferences. So on top of that, this manufacturing layer, we are building a technology layer, which digitizes all supply chain and manufacturing processes throughout our global ERP platform. And in order to enable more choice, we have built a centralized product development platform for our menus. Now this will allow us to continue to extend recipe choice. Finally, our technology layer includes our direct-to-consumer digital brand experience platform for web and mobile devices. Make it easy for customers to sign in, manage their subscriptions, select recipes they want to cook, and so forth. Now, our final layer consists of our data warehouse, which aggregates supply chain, customer profile, and customer behavior data. Now, as we delivered, for example, over 10 million meals in the first half of 2019 alone, we continue to accumulate data points that reveal customer preferences. Now, this proprietary data allows us to predict customer behavior, customer taste preferences, and we can use that to improve supply chain efficiency and, more importantly, to provide a personalized menu in the future. Now, as customers continue to use our service, we get to know them better and better, which can, in turn, support ARPU as we improve retention and offer cross and upselling to our customers. Now, we believe the three-layer platform, which we continue to invest in, allows us to scale our business while providing a defendable barrier to entry as we continue to innovate in our industry. Now, moving to the final slide, 13. In summary, so we had a strong first half of 2019. The business grew revenue 55% year-on-year, led by the U.S. business, at overall stable customer acquisition cost into a $200 million run rate revenue business. And more than 90% of that revenue was by repeat customers. While we are facing operational challenges in Europe, consolidating our manufacturing centers, we were able to improve global contribution margin nevertheless by 2 points to 24%. And this was driven by a strong year-on-year performance in the U.S. primarily. Now, our operating EBITDA margin improved from minus 36 in the prior year to minus 28, exiting Q2 at minus 16. And we continue to be on track to reach EBITDA profitability on an operating level by 22 as guided previously. So overall, we believe that we are operating in a vast category. Now, as groceries are experiencing this shift of purchase pattern moving to online shopping, we believe we have a massive opportunity to grab that's really just in day one. Now, our strategy will continue to be based on strong partnerships like our alliance with Woolworth, invest in the industry-leading technology, and continuous product innovation, which in the past with Dinnerly, with More Choice, you always have seen us doing new things in the industry, which often worked very well. Now, with this strategy, we believe we're well-positioned to capture a big part of this future opportunity. On the back of the positive developments in our two largest segments, we reaffirm our guidance of reaching a global contribution margin in the mid to high 20s after the 24% in the first half of the year. Now, finally, as Julian already mentioned earlier, we look forward to sharing the progress of our recently started Woolworths partnership with you in the coming months and quarters. As we start to realize growth and cost synergies, we'll be happy to report back. Now, thanks so much for taking the time this morning. And with that, I'd like to open the call up for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. I will pause momentarily to allow questioners to enter the queue. Your first question comes from Ian Jameson with TKDY. Please go ahead.
Hey, Fabian. Thanks for the great presentation. I just wanted to make sure I understood how you got the higher revenue growth with less growth in customers. So that would imply that the average revenue per customer has increased. Is that just a function of moving into customers that have been with you longer, therefore they're higher euro customers?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And I think if you look to the slide, I think it was the slide 5, you actually see a very important dynamic of our business model. So a customer discovers Marley Spoon, and once they decide to have us be the provider of weeknight cooking for them, they switch a part of their supermarket shopping to us on a continuous basis. Now, the average customer that's been with us, they cook actually up to 9 nights during a month with us. So that means they're cooking 3 nights a week with us, and they cook around between 2 and 3 weeks per month with us. So it's a very recurring behavior. And that leads to us generating already 91% of our revenue in the first half of 2019 from those repeat purchases. Or if you more granular look into this, 64% of our orders were of order number 6 or higher, and that has increased over time. And this is a very important dynamic. So therefore, most of our revenue comes from these existing customers. As we add new customers on top, it only incrementally adds to this very stable recurring base of revenue that we have. Now, quarter over quarter, as we tried to explain earlier, we have different dynamics. So in Q1 and Q3, these are always quarters where it's great to acquire lots of customers because you have either back to school or you have a New Year's resolution. And these quarters, therefore, allow us to acquire a lot of customers at very attractive rates. And then in Q2 and Q4, these normally tend not to be the amazing quarters to acquire customers, so we acquire less customers. So it doesn't make sense to look at active customers quarter over quarter. It makes sense to look at active customers year on year. And there you see this trend that as we add more customers and retain all these existing customers, you will probably see also in the future that our revenue growth will be higher than our new customer growth. So that's, I think it's a very important and I think very exciting dynamic of the business.
Yeah, it sounds good. And one last one from me. I know you don't want to talk about Woolworths because it's so early, but given it's such a huge opportunity, can you at least talk about maybe what type of marketing you've done thus far? Or is there any other detail you can give on Woolworths?
I mean, we're just starting to test the various opportunities. There's two large opportunities that we have. On the one hand side, there's Woolworths Rewards. Now, Woolworths Rewards is the largest Australian rewards card program. And the benefit here is, of course, that Woolworths has also good understanding about these customer profiles, their preferences. So it'll be easy for it will be interesting for us to test this to find out which are the right audience we can address. And so what we've done already this month, we launched a first test campaign where we sent emails to selected audiences of this group to start testing now what converts well and what is where do we find the relevant Marty Spoon customers. So that's super exciting. There's also a new marketing platform that Woolworths is just starting, Cartology. And Cartology basically aggregates all the assets that Woolworths has. It starts with the in-store screens. It goes to the online supermarket, grocery sales, so the boxes that go to the customer's house. It then goes also into digital properties that Woolworths has. So basically, it allows you to access cross-media all the properties that Woolworths has. That's a new platform, and that's another one that we can potentially test and see whether it's good to grow our business. So it's too early to give any more details because we're just testing, but the Woolworths team and our team is very actively engaged. They're very excited, and there's lots of things that they're testing and working on right now.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question comes from Stuart Foster with Foster Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, Fabian. Stuart Foster here. The business looks like it's growing very well, so well done. But I guess I just wanted to clarify your working capital needs. By slide 11, you've got about 10.5 million euros left at the end of June. And I'm just trying to understand, you know, how are you going to fund the business through to the cash flow break even in 2020? And I saw you withdrew the resolution yesterday at the meeting to issue more shares to Woolworths and going ahead with the convertible note. But can you just give me some colour on the working capital? Because obviously the stock market is more worried, I think, in the short term here that, you know, are you going to have to come back and raise capital to fund any deficit in working capital that may arise? Can you run through those?
Well, that's a good question. So I think we've, if you look at the numbers also quarter over quarter, you see that we've been on this continuous path to improve profitability of the business, you saw the EBITDA margin or the loss go from 12 million in the first quarter to 5 million in the second quarter. And our ability also shows that we're actually on this clear path to EBITDA profitability to get to this point by 2020. Also, there's very interesting and important working capital dynamic as our business, in fact, works at customers when they pay for our box. We get the funds right away, so basically 6 days before delivery. But then, as usual in the grocery industry, we pay our suppliers on average 45 days later. And so as the business grows, it also generates cash. So you will always see that working capital will be ahead of results. Now, having said that, and we've mentioned this also in the release and also in the past, we're actually actively considering additional funding options, both equity and or debt, to support the path to profitability. Now, so as our business continues to grow and at stable acquisition costs and profitable unit economics, you'll see that we'll balance these two things out. We balance growth and we balance out reaching profitability as guidance. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it does. Okay. Yep. Why did you withdraw the resolution at yesterday's meeting to issue all this more
details? The announcement, with Woolworths, I mean, this is basically just more of a technical thing. So I think Woolworths has done the same investment. The announcement basically just clarifies whether Woolworths gets shares or convertible for that particular amount involved. So I think this is a technical legal thing. It doesn't change the overall investment amount by Woolworths. Just to clarify that.
Right. Okay. So I think the second tranche they're getting is convertible notes rather than shares.
For that small piece.
They're getting a convertible note for that small piece that they convert into shares if they elect to do that, which then leads to the same outcome. It was more a technicality. And it wasn't the whole resolution. It was just this 0.7 whole EGM, which passed this morning.
Okay, no, it's good. Well, the business certainly looks like it's growing very well. So, well done. But I guess, the stock price hasn't reflected that. I guess it's on these concerns of the working capital need. So I look forward to seeing what you come out with in due course. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. The next question comes from Sean Weck with Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Yeah, thanks for taking the question. Just one quick one. You've obviously mentioned within the pack there that you've seen CACs remain stable, but could you just talk a bit about, I guess, the underlying cohort dynamics, what you're seeing from a retention or churn perspective, and I suppose how that's evolving between the older cohorts versus the newer cohorts, as the business scales and the offering becomes, stronger and broader?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question. And in general, the answer is pretty straightforward. Cohorts are very stable. And so we see long-term, very similar user behavior patterns. So as we acquire customers at the same stable CPA, we see the same attractive unit economics of roughly payback 6 months and roughly 3x return LTV versus CAC. The reason why we didn't include the slide, we thought we bore everybody to death to show the same slide over and over again, but nothing actually has changed, and I think that's the exciting part here. What we wanted to focus this time really is on the amount of our business that's already recurring, and that's, I think, you see in the marketing efficiency slides, and that's why marketing efficiency also trends up.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And maybe just another one in terms of how we should be thinking about the profile of the Australian business going forward. Like, is the expectation that, in the short term, it might be a little bit lumpy in terms of, the movement between cash flow positive and cash flow negative as that marketing dials up and down? Like, how we should think about that, I suppose, over the next kind of 6 to 12 months?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's correct, Sean. So as I mentioned before, we're now doing this a bit more seasonal marketing pattern, which means now you probably saw some out of home or TV marketing that we currently have out in Australia right now as well. So August, September into October tends to be a good time for us. So Q3 should show a bit higher marketing spend again. So that could lead to a small loss again temporarily. But I think the trajectory, of course, you know, with top line growing, margin stable to up, I think you'll continue to see profits overall. Yeah, but it depends a bit on the marketing spend in any given quarter, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and maybe just one final one. Are you confident that, you know, quarter over quarter, Fabi mentioned earlier, it's not necessarily a, you know, great way to look at the active customer trend, but, you know, would your expectation be then with, you know, unit economics stable and marketing costs increasing into 3Q that you should see that active customer number start to build again quarter over quarter?
Well, I think it makes sense to look at active customer number always year on year. Well, then I think you'll see this consistent growth trajectory in our business. And so therefore, I don't want to comment quarter on quarter. Q3 is always a great quarter to acquire customers, and we see great traction at very attractive, stable acquisition cost. But so I think I just want to make sure that when we look at a metric, which is a three-month average over a customer that bought a box, then looking at it quarter over quarter can be misleading. And that's why we would just encourage that specific metrics to look on a year-on-year basis. I think what is important is that the top line keeps growing. And I think that is what shows you that this business overall is growing.
Great. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, John. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Siegel for closing remarks.
Yeah, thanks so much, everybody, for joining on our investor call. For us, it was a very big milestone, 1 year being a public company. We believe when we look at our progress operationally, I think we've achieved a tremendous amount. The business is developing continuously further, and we're very proud what the team has built. We also believe that if you look at our business and compare it to other e-commerce businesses, that there is still a mispricing in the business, and we believe over the long term, the equity value we're building will be also reflected in the share price. We will be on the roadshow in September 9th, so week after next, and we'll be in Sydney, Melbourne, maybe also in Auckland. So therefore, if I would love to see as many as possible, please reach out. You have our contact details at the last slide. In the slide deck, and we'll be looking forward to seeing as many as possible of you in person week after next. Thank you very much.